Well, praise the Lord for just the time we've had together and the testimonies that we've had. It's good to have this fellowship together with the believers. When we're talking about that fellowship, that is one of the benefits of being the church that Jesus created. And so often, because we meet together, and I think this COVID situation has helped us to be reminded of how special and what a privilege it is to be the church and to meet together. We know we're the church. We hear that often, that it's not a building, it's a body. But when you're separated from each other and you can only fellowship via Zoom for the most part, and then you get back together, boy, that is emphasized even more greatly, isn't it? And really, the emphasis of the book of Ephesians is the church. Now, we haven't seen that, except maybe mentioned in a slight way, in a muffled way, so to speak. But now, as Paul is talking about the gospel, we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And I think I'm going to shorten the message this morning and get back to it tonight because, you know, it's a little more humid out today, and we'll get back to it tonight. But what he's doing now, he still has a focus on the gospel. And it's almost like Paul, he certainly does this in Romans, and to a lesser extent here in Ephesians, where he's looking at a diamond, and he's turning that diamond around, and he's seeing all the different facets, and how as you turn, the light kind of reflects this way and this way. And as you turn that jewel, there's all these different beautiful aspects that you're trying to enjoy and catch. And Paul is doing that with the gospel as he's looking at all the different aspects of the gospel. But today, I mean, we're going to be looking at the gospel in relationship to the church. Last week, we saw the gospel in relationship to the individual as part of the church, certainly. And that is, Paul showed us what we were, reminded us, and we need this reminder on a regular basis of what we were before we put our faith in Christ. And that is that we were followers of the flesh, followers, our leader was Satan himself. We were happy, we were desirous to go our own way, and yet that way that we were headed was going to meet the wrath of God, and punishment will have to be dealt out. And God, because he loves us, wanted to save us from that eternal destruction that we so greatly deserved. We deserved every bit of it, that wrath that he had to show on us. And instead, he showed it on his son, and he put it all on his son. And therefore, now, through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we don't go our own way anymore, but we become his children. And we are made new. And we looked at all of these wonderful truths last week. And again, if you're here today and you don't know what it's like to have a relationship with God, you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, come talk to us afterwards, myself, the leadership. We'd be glad to share the gospel with you. It's the most important thing, most important decision you could ever make. Because of the direction that we're headed, because of our sin, and because of what Jesus has done, and now making us new people that can respond and do what God wants us to do. Today, though, we're going to see God's work in the gospel and what he does in the church and how he brings people together. Rick was reading from Romans, and it was pointing out the hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. We're going to see that more today. But God brings people that are hostile to each other and brings them together in unity to serve him. And it's a beautiful picture. Because Jesus died so that the church could be incorporated and could be made an entity. And the church is very important. And knowing about the church is so key to understanding how we're supposed to operate in the culture that we live in. We should all have a desire and interest in the church. And I hope you do, because pretty much the rest of Ephesians is going to be about that, as we see together. Paul's going to remind us, he's going to say again, I've got some more things to remind you of. Don't have spiritual amnesia over what God has done for you and what you are in the past. He's going to show us that now, in these few verses, starting at verse 11, that we were separated from the blessings of God and that we didn't have access to eternity and the things that God was going to do until God intervened. Let's read this passage together. We may not get to all these verses this morning, but we'll get to them today. Then we'll have a word of prayer. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that called the circumcision, time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Lord, help us to have even a greater appreciation for what you have done in our lives. And we that were once far off have now been made near and drawn close to you. And Lord, we're grateful for that. We're thankful for that truth. And let us rejoice in that reminder, even today. Help us to give us understanding through the power of the Spirit, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to be talking today and tonight about breaking down walls and bringing peace. And again, back to this verse 11 and 12, Paul is going to remind us so that we have an appreciation of all that God has done through Jesus, of where we used to be before Jesus sacrificed, before Jesus came. And the first thing he's going to show us in verses 11 and 12, before Jesus came, we were alienated from God. We were far off, as he says here. And specifically, we were divided by ethnicity. What does he mean by that? Well, let's continue to look at verse 11 together. Wherefore, remember, again, Paul's saying, here's are things that you need to keep in mind. A second important part of our past. Last week, he showed us again that we were rebels from God. And now he's showing us today, you need to be reminded that you are alienated. And he makes this distinction between Jews or Gentiles. That you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh were called the uncircumcision by the Jews, by those which were called the circumcision. Now, as far as I know, none of you have let me know any different. I think I'm speaking to a group of Gentiles. And I don't mean that in the derogatory sense that the Jews did in Bible times. But unless you have some Jewish lineage in you or you're Jewish and I don't know about it, we are the Gentiles. In the flesh, we literally are our ethnicity. That's what we are, and that's what Paul's referring to. He's referring to the racial component evidenced in the bodies of people. So, he is writing here and addressing the believers in Ephesus who, for the most part, were these Gentiles in the flesh. Two groups that are divided here. And continue on in verse 11, not only divided, but hostile towards each other. And he says here, the Jews would refer to the Gentiles as those that are uncircumcised. Oh, the uncircumcision. But you know what? The Gentiles tended to look down on the Jews as well. Jews look down on Gentiles because they consider them, oh, they're the uncircumcised heathen. And God in his rules and standards has lifted us to a higher calling and we can't associate with them. We're going to find out later that's not why God gave them the law. They totally misused and corrupted the reason why God gave them the law and gave them the privileges in the first place. But you know, by the time we get to the New Testament, the Jews look down on the Gentiles, want nothing to do with them. But at the same time, the Gentiles weren't too friendly in a lot of ways to the Jews. In fact, Romans and Greeks, they looked at the whole idea of circumcision as abhorrent. It was disgusting. And so they would even mock the Jews because of it. So you have two groups here that are divided by ethnicity in a very sharp way. It's interesting, too, at the end of that verse, that Paul is probably making a comment here to the Jews and reminding them that the circumcision that was so important to them now because of what Jesus has done does not have that importance any longer. It does not provide them a relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's only through their faith in Jesus. And he describes the circumcision as made by hands. In the Old Testament, that description is given toward idols. And it seems Paul is saying here, by the way, you Jews that make circumcision such an important thing that would destroy or corrupt the gospel by trying to add it in, you've developed an idol. You've made circumcision a command of God that was one time valid. Now you're worshiping it as an idol. And that's wrong. We're divided. You know, I'm not trying to be controversial this morning, certainly, but how can you not make application to what we're seeing today in our culture? And we're going to do this even more tonight. But here you have a division between two peoples because they think that they're better in some ways than the others. And certainly the Jewish people looked down on the Gentiles. You know, division via physical attributes and ethnicity always leads to trouble. There's no good in it. As we see that in our culture today and people trying to divide us based on race or color of skin, and all of these things, we shouldn't allow them to do that. It's wrong and it's not what God intended. And we should be grieved when this is happening. We should be grieved by what's going on in our culture. That instead of being together and noticing the needs of other people based on the fact that they're people and they have needs rather than the color of their skin. And certainly as believers looking for opportunities to give the gospel, I would tell my teenagers this many times. You know, you always have to bring up, if you talk about the topic of race, you have to be very careful, especially in our culture today. So I would just say, look, young people, I just want you to know, I don't look out and see a number of different races or skin colors. I see so-and-so, who I love and who I've spent time with and who I pray concerning this and this. And I see so-and-so over here who I'm praying for, and I'm thankful that this happened in their lives, and I'm praising the Lord with them. I'm looking at individuals who need my ministry and who I'm just thankful to be able to spend time with and to fellowship with. That's how it should be. And our culture just divides and disrupts all of that. And it's sinful. We're going to see later on, though, that that's not the intention that God had for the church. The church should never be a part of this kind of division, racial division, division via color of skin or any part of that. The church should never have any part in that sin at all, because it's wrong. But we were divided, two groups of people that were hostile to each other. Not only that, but we were, as the Gentiles then, we were separated from God's blessings. And he's going to give us five things in verse 12 that we're separated by. Look at verse 12. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. five blessings the Gentiles had no part in whatsoever. And that is, first of all, that they were without Christ. What does Paul mean here? Well, certainly they didn't know Christ, but he's actually referring to the fact that they had no hope at all in a national Messiah that would one day come. That was a promise that had been given in the Old Testament to the people, to Israel. Now, their ultimate purpose was to point the world to that Messiah, but it was a promise for the nation of Israel that a Messiah would come and he would be Jewish. And therefore, Paul says, as Gentiles, you didn't have access to that promise. You were without Christ. Then he also says, but you were also aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, number two, they could not claim citizenship in Israel with all of its God-given status. And we can't claim that today as Gentiles. There are certain privileges that God has given the nation of Israel that are specific to them. Now, we're going to see there's some other things that we share. Praise the Lord. And we're going to see that in a minute. But we can't claim citizenship. And the Gentiles at this time, the Ephesian people that Paul is writing to, they could not claim the privileges and the status and the benefits that the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, could claim. And, you know, they would understand that because at that time they also lived under Roman rule in Roman provinces. And many times they didn't have the guarantee of being a citizen with Rome. They didn't have citizenship with Rome as well. So the Ephesians could understand, yeah, well, we're twice out. Paul says this is before Christ. Another part of this. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Number three, they could not lay claim because they weren't citizens. They didn't have citizenship within Israel. They couldn't lay claim to the benefits of God's promises to his people. And all throughout the Old Testament, right, we have a list of those promises. The Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant promises, and all that that entailed. The Gentiles had no access to that. Something else that they didn't have, they had no hope. Put all these things together, and they had no confident hope. It was one of the things that the Jews were prideful of, but they were expectant of. The fact that they knew that they could have a confident hope in God's future promises for them. They could be confident in that. Again, that idea of hope is not like we think of today. Oh, I hope it doesn't rain. While the service is still going on, I hope that wasp doesn't sting me that's flying around, but it could. No, remember, the hope here is confident. I know this is going to happen. And the Jews could lay claim to that, but Gentiles could not. And therefore, they had no hope. They had no real hope. And then finally, they were without God in the world. Another way to describe that is they were godless. And it is interesting that Gentiles are described in that way, because even as we studied and prepared for this series, we looked at Paul's ministry in Ephesus, and they were not godless. They worshiped plenty of gods. They worshiped all kinds of gods. The Corinthians had all kinds of gods that they worshiped. And so here Paul is not saying, oh, you guys don't worship any gods. No, they worshiped all kinds of gods. What he's saying here is you don't worship, you don't follow after, you don't have a relationship with the one true God, the one that's important that you must have for an eternity with him and avoiding the wrath that is to come. You don't have that. You have lots of gods, but you're still godless. And all of these things then are things that the Gentiles did not have access to. And we had no hope. The Jews had the hope of an eternity with the Messiah that would come and make everything right, but the Gentiles were out. They were out of the circle. They were not included. And then we have this wonderful verse. Even as the Gentiles looked and they had no eternal hope. God changed all that around. And remember last week, those beautiful words, but God, and how God did it all and turned it all around. Paul does this again, but now he says, but Jesus. Because of what Jesus did, that's all changed. And Gentiles, you Ephesian believers, you can rejoice because Jesus has come, and the mystery that this was a mystery to the Jews is now being revealed. Remember, Paul talked about the mysteries that God had graciously revealed to his people. He talked about that in chapter 1. This is one of those ministries that Jesus came, and he came for the Gentiles as well and died for them. But now Jesus came and turned this whole situation of our alienation and our farness, our lack of nearness from God. Jesus is going to bring us close. Look at the rest of that verse. Ye who sometimes were far off. I'd say we're far off. We didn't have access to the Messiah. We weren't an Israeli citizen. We didn't have access to the covenants of promise. We had no hope. We had no access to the one true God. Yeah, we were far off. But what did Jesus do? He made us nigh. He brings us near by the blood of Christ. You see, before Jesus came, we were alienated from God. But now we see, because Jesus came, enemies are united as one. And Jesus' sacrifice brought us near to God. He's the initiator. He's the activator of hope for the Gentiles. Our situation as Gentiles would not stay hopeless because God loved us enough to send his son. But Jesus had to pay all and had to shed his own blood. And again, as we talked about in chapter 1, that had to happen. God said in the Old Testament, only by blood, shedding of blood, comes forgiveness of sins. And all of those sacrifices were pointing to the time when Jesus would come and be the ultimate perfect lamb sacrifice and would shed his blood for our sins and be that big word, propitiation, that would satisfy God's wrath against sin. Because God loved not only Jews, but Gentiles, God sent his only son to die so that that could take place. And now we as Gentiles, Paul says, we can draw near to God. And he's already pointed out, we call him our Father. Remarkable. Don't lose your awe of that. That those of us that were far away from God and without hope are now able to draw near. Have you ever been left out of a group activity or event that you were really hoping to be a part of, or that just a group of friends that you thought would certainly include you, and for whatever reason you didn't get invited or asked or kept out of something? That hurts. That's no fun. Find out that a group of your friends had fun and didn't even think to ask you, even if they had good reason, that hurts to be left out. Well, how much more to be left out of the eternal plan for creation, for mankind? That's one thing that it's more than hurting. That's one thing that we can't afford to be left out of, because we face then the wrath of God, eternal punishment in hell for all eternity. And God loved us so much, he says, no, I'm going to draw the Gentiles. Jews, you watch. I'm going to draw the Gentiles near too, and they are going to get to experience the benefits of a relationship with the Messiah. Not just the Jews. But you know what? The Jews really shouldn't have been too surprised by this. God indicated this in the Old Testament. One last verse here. We're going to finish up for today. Isaiah 56, 6 through 7. Go ahead and turn there. And in other passages of Scripture, God made clear that he was going to allow other nations, the Gentile nations, to worship together with his people. Isaiah 56, verses 6 through 7. says, also the sons of the stranger that joins themselves to the Lord. That word stranger we've just discussed. We, as the Gentiles, were strangers to God. And that stranger and the sons of the stranger, God says, one day they will also join themselves to Yahweh, to the God of Israel, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants. And everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for who? All people. And unfortunately, the Jewish people corrupted the Old Testament word and ignored these clear indications that God would not forget about the Gentiles, but they would all be brought together and they would all be unified in praying to one God. Well, God is going to do this, and the precursor to this that will one day happen for all eternity is the church. We're going to see that tonight. But I want to continue on about the blood that Jesus had to shed. The shed blood of Christ was the only means that we could have this reconciliation with God. He talked about earlier how the blood of Christ redeems us from our sins. Certainly that is the case. But it's also our only means of reconciliation. His blood, again, was the propitiation to meet God's holy demands. God's anger against sin had to be satisfied, and Jesus did that himself. So, yes, God has brought the Gentile near, but let's never forget the cost of bringing the Gentile near was dear. It cost him everything. Now, I hope you're able to come back tonight because we're going to see more of what God did in bringing the church together in these two hostile camps. We're going to see even more how hostile they were to each other and how God now brings them together in what he calls a new creation and basically takes two different races, brings them together to create a new race, as one commentator put it, that is raceless. Amazing. What God did, what Jesus did in the creation of the church. And it is so timely for us to talk about this in relation to what's going on in our world today, because we as the church must be an example of unity within all of our members, regardless of what they look like and where they're from. That we can be a light to the world, that they can have the unity that they seek, that our world seeks and protests about and riots about, can only be found in Jesus. And so we must point them to Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to see Jesus' sacrifice created unity from hostility. But as we finish up today, let's be reminded. Jesus, through his sacrifice, brought us near as Gentiles who had no hope of the promises. And now we have the blessed hope of the Messiah that we can put our faith and trust in and have forgiveness of sins. And that cost Jesus everything. And let's let that motivate our service as we think on that together. Father, thank you for your word and for this reminder that we need to constantly reflect on what you have done for us through Jesus. Help us to be motivated to serve you more because of Jesus shedding his blood for our sins and drawing us near who were once estranged, divided, far away. Lord, let us rejoice in what you have done, that as Gentiles, we also have access to the saving forgiveness and redemption of the Messiah. Father, if there's someone here who doesn't have that relationship with Jesus, let them come today and make sure, be confident that they have that. Help us to rejoice in opportunities that we have in this broken world to show where true unity comes from. All this we ask in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's sing verse 3 together of And Can It Be, 139 in your books. We don't dread condemnation or that separation from God. Because of what Jesus did, we can celebrate our relationship with Him. Verse 3.